you would this morning turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We'll begin our reading in verse 22. It says, "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Fear not, little flock. As you know, in this world, there are many things that are fearful and cause us to fear. As we look around, there's many things that would cause us to be afraid. As we have already come through a great recession, we see that there's times that the economy is fearful, not knowing what our nation's dollar will do and whether tomorrow we'll have a job or not, or whether we can make the house payment and keep a home over our heads, or whether we can pay the gas bill to get back and forth to work, or whether we can pay the grocery bill to feed ourselves and our children. It's fearful not knowing what shall transpire. There's times that it is our health that begins to fade away. It's very fearful not knowing exactly what shall transpire. Sometimes we don't know if the doctors know for sure what they're saying. And we don't know if the treatments that they would order will really do us any good. And we began to doubt and become afraid because we see our bodies falling away and beg the Lord to intervene. We see wars among the world's nations, and we began to fear, not knowing what shall really transpire among the kingdoms of the earth and how long our own nation shall be able to stand. And we who have enjoyed the freedoms of this country for so long, it's a fearful thought to think that that could fall. There's so many things going on around about us that cause us to be afraid. It was no different for the Lord's disciples. The Lord had expressed to them over and over the day was coming that He would no longer be with them, that they would be on their own except for the Holy Ghost being with them to comfort them. He wouldn't walk with them anymore, and the world that hated Him would hate them likewise. He told them that they would hear of wars and rumors of wars, but they were not to be troubled, for this was not yet the end. He told them they were to go into various nations, teaching the gospel to every creature and trusting that the Lord would be with them and guide them along the way. They didn't know exactly where they would sleep or where they would have their home or even where they would find their food. I remember one occasion a man came to the Lord saying he would follow after him, but the Lord turned to him and said, "The foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." So to follow the Lord, he said, it's not going to be a guaranteed easy ride. I don't know, he said, where you're going to sleep or what you shall eat or where you shall put your head down. But he says, of course, follow after me. It's a very fearful world in which we live. And the scriptures over and over let us know, though, that we're to fear not. We find the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but rather of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I'm thankful to know that when I'm afraid, it's not from the Lord. But yet when we fear, it's coming from the other party. That means Satan. The enemy loves to cast doubts at us. That's one of the fiery darts of Satan that he hurls toward us, is to cause us fear, to make us look at the things that are coming on the earth and cause our hearts to stumble and our belief to fall short because we see the danger that's coming all around us.
But I love how the Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 6, number 1. He made it clear that we are in a warfare. We are not to be deceived. As we live in this life, it is a dangerous life. The Bible says in the last days perilous, dangerous times shall come. We are living in a dangerous time, there's no doubt. However, Satan has always been at war with God's people. And we need to be mindful of that. Paul even said very clearly, but he said our warfare is not carnal, but rather it's spiritual. And there are thankfully blessings that God has given us called the armor of God, which we can take to ourselves to defend ourselves and not be afraid of the things that Satan would cast our way. One of the things that God has blessed us with, he says, is the shield of faith by which we can hold it up and turn away the darts of Satan as he would throw them in our direction. Thanks be to God that we have that which we need to overcome the things that would cause us fear. That's why the Lord here in Luke chapter 12, he tells them we're not to take thought for the things of this life. He says, don't worry about food. Don't worry about raiment. The body is more than meat and our life more than clothing. God, who's given us life, will he not give us the things we stand in need of day by day? Certainly he will. If God has blessed us to be able to live in his kingdom, will he not bless us with the things he knows that we have need of? Certainly he will. He says we're to consider the ravens. They don't plow. They don't plant. They don't have storehouses or barns, but God takes care of them. Are you not better than ravens? God didn't send his son to die for birds of the air, but he sent his son to die for you. And if God sent his son to die for you, certainly he loves you more than he loves the birds of the air. He says, consider the lilies. They have more beautiful garments than even Solomon wore. You remember Queen Sheba? She came, she saw all the glory of Solomon's reign, and what'd she say? The half's not been told me. She hadn't seen the half of it, hadn't heard the half of it. She saw it, and she was amazed at the glory of that kingdom and God blessed him with. And she was amazed that even the servants, as they served, they did it with joy and gladness. That's how it is in the kingdom of our God. Thanks be to God, as we come here to the Lord's house to serve, we have a better kingdom than Solomon did, and we're happy to do it. But here Solomon wasn't even arrayed with the glory of the lilies of the field. And God says, God loves you more than the grass that's here today, but tomorrow is cast in the oven. Will he not grant us the things we stand in need of? Certainly he will. The Lord, even another place, Matthew chapter 6, tells us we're to take no thought for the morrow. Well, that's a hard one, is it not? He says, take no thought for the morrow. He says, for the things of tomorrow will take thought for themselves. Sufficient to the day is evil thereof. We have enough troubles right now on Sunday, April 22nd. I don't have to worry about Monday, April 23rd. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I have no idea whatsoever. However, I do know this, that God declares the end from the beginning, from ancient time, the things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I'll do all my pleasure. That tells me God does know what's coming tomorrow. He has it in control. And I don't have to worry about it, because he's going to take care of it. Today I have grace for today. I don't have grace for tomorrow. I have grace to worry about the things of right now. I don't have what I need for tomorrow. That'll come tomorrow. That's why the Lord said we're to pray to him, give us this day our daily bread. We're to come to the Lord daily, asking the Lord to bless us with what we stand in need of. We're not to take thought for the things of tomorrow. Why? Because when we begin to focus on things out in the future, all it's going to do is cause us to be fearful. He says, fear not. Fear not, little flock. He says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I like that. I like to know it's my Father's good pleasure to give me and to give you the kingdom. He's the king. He's the one that has the reign over it. But he's given it to us. Revelation tells us very clearly that he's made us kings and priests unto our God. Here we are, kings and priests in the service of God. He's given to us the kingdom. And I'm thankful to know his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Satan's kingdom shall come to an end, but the Lord's kingdom shall not. And that's the kingdom that's been given to us. And knowing this, we ought not be afraid, because he's given us a lasting kingdom. We're under his reign, under his authority, under his control, under his power. And there's no better king to be under. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, they're all going to fall short. They're not good kings to be under. Remember what Samuel told Israel when they desired a king. He said, this is what's going to happen. He's going to put your children, your sons and your daughters into servitude. He'll tax you. You'll become his servants. That's what's happened with every king on the face of the earth, has it not? Even in our own nation, we've been taxed. We have kings over us. They put us under servitude. We work our jobs to pay our taxes. We're under servitude to the United States of America. It's been that way all through the history of time. But thanks be to God, we serve a king that's given us liberty, not given us servitude. Thanks be to God. He says, fear not. Fear not. This morning, I'd like to look at several occasions where the Lord told His people to fear not. The first case I'd like to look back at is in Genesis chapter 15, and a man named Abram. In Genesis chapter 14, you know, his nephew Lot found himself in great trouble. Before that, they had been together. Lot had been with Abraham. They worshiped together, but the time came where the fields were not big enough to take care of Abram's flock and herd, and also Lot's. And so they parted from one another. However, we find that Lot made a bad choice. He made a choice not for the right reasons, but for worldly reasons, and soon found himself in trouble because he pitched his tent towards Sodom. If you know anything about the Bible, you know Sodom is a very wicked place, and that's where he pitched his tent toward because he saw that those plains were well watered and they would be sufficient to take care of his flocks and make him a wealthy man. He made a choice based on finances, and all too often when we make choices only for financial reasons, we'll find ourselves in trouble. And that's exactly what happens with Lot. Finally, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, they go out to war, and in the midst of the war, we find Lot is taken captive, and Abraham has to go and rescue him and bring him back home. And on the way home, he meets Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. And then it says, and after these things, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, God comes to Abraham. He tells him, fear not. You know, I can tell you to be not afraid, but I need to back it up with something. And God does every time. You know, back in World War II, President Roosevelt got on the radio every week to encourage the nation. And one of his statements was, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, that's not true. We had great things as a nation to fear. When you saw that at any time Japan could invade our West Coast and we didn't know what was going to happen in Germany and whether the world was going to fall or not, there was a lot of things to cause us fear, except God was in control. Roosevelt made that statement, that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. That doesn't make good sense when you really stop and think about it. But God, every time He tells us to be not afraid, He gives us a good reason why we're not to fear. Genesis chapter 15, it says, after these things, God tells Abraham, fear not. Well, why not? Why should he not be afraid? He says, because I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I love that expression. I am, number one, your shield. That means He's our protection. I've already told you about the shield of faith. That comes from the Lord. Our faith comes from God. Our faith is a shield to help overcome the darts that Satan would hurl at us. I am thankful that God, He is our shield. He's our defense. He is our protector. Are you not thankful for that? I mean, I'm thankful in the United States we have a great military and a great defense. However, we know that that could fall. But I'm thankful there's one in heaven that will never fall, and He'll always be our defense. We see in Psalm chapter 3, when David was fleeing from his son Absalom, he wrote these words, Psalm 3, verse 1. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He says, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God, Selah. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. He says, I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Another time, David said, I have set the Lord at my right hand, therefore I shall not be moved. Here, David was not afraid. At first, he was. At first, he was fearful. Here comes Absalom. You remember the story? Absalom had turned the hearts of the people against David, whom they had loved. Every day, here, the king was given good judgment. But here, Absalom would set himself up and question the integrity of his father. Those people would come out of the courthouse, and what would Absalom say? He'd say, well, I would have done this for you. I'd have made you happier. I'd have given you a better judgment. And finally, he turned the hearts of the entire nation. And all of a sudden, David realized that Absalom was out to get him, and David had to leave his own home, his own palace, the capital of his own kingdom, because his own son had risen up against him. He was greatly afraid. But you know what he did? He recognized finally the Lord was his shield. And therefore, he said, I will not be afraid, even though 10,000s would come up against him. Remember, God tells Abraham, fear not, for I am thy shield. I'm your protection. I'm your defense. I like what God says in Isaiah chapter 52 when he says he would go out before us in battle, but he would also be our rearward. That means God would be ahead of us and God would be behind us. And just in case we're worried about our flanks, we find that Psalm 34 says that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. That means we have protection all the way around us at all times. God is our sure defense. He's our shield, our defense, our protection. He says to Abraham, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am thy shield. But I love the next part, and thy exceeding great reward. A great reward's good, but an exceeding great reward is even better. You just imagine the best reward you can imagine. He says, I'll exceed that. Kind of reminds me of Ephesians chapter 3 when he says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the God that we serve. He says, I am thy shield. He didn't say, I'll give you a reward. He says, I am thy reward. That's good to know. I mean, I'm happy to the rewards that the Lord does bless us with from time to time. Has he not blessed us with many rewards in this life when we've done well? Sure he has. The Bible tells us it's important that we recognize that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. However, here he says, I am thy exceeding great reward. He is the reward. That's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 when he says he had given up all things, counted them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. Not just the knowledge of Christ, but that I may actually win Christ. Do you not want to win Christ? I certainly do. I'm thankful, though, that Christ has won us. And because he won us, we've won him. It's not because we did well, we prayed right, we did right, but he won the battle. And thus, we have won Christ. Now, certainly, as we live day by day, we ought to live our lives in such a way that we can win him daily. But thanks be to God, he's won the battle. I've already told you we're in a warfare. That's no doubt. But I'm thankful Isaiah chapter 40 tells us very clearly. He says, comfort ye, my people. Say it to your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I'm thankful to know that the warfare is accomplished. That means he has won. He's got the victory. And thanks be to God, at the last day, the greatest enemy will be destroyed. We know that enemy is death. He says, fear not. Why? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. When you put that in perspective, there's no reason to be afraid. The Lord is our protection and the Lord is our reward. He's here with us now and we'll be with him at the end. He's going to protect us in the here and now, and when our life is over, he'll take us to his heavenly kingdom. Thanks be to God. He told Abraham, fear not. Why? He said, I'm your shield and thy exceeding great reward. In Genesis chapter 26, we find that he tells Isaac to fear not. The time comes that Abraham has died. Isaac has gone back to his homeland after being pitched out of a nation because he became mightier than the king named Abimelech. So Isaac goes back home and he begins to redig the wells that his father had dug. And over, there would be those that came out and strove with his herdsmen and tried to take over the water. Till finally we find that the Lord appears to him in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 26. And he says, that night he says, I am the God of Abraham thy father. He says, fear not. Notice, every time the Lord says, fear not, he's going to back it up with a reason we're not to be afraid. He tells Isaac, fear not. Why? He says, for I am with thee. Is that not an encouragement here? He's going back to a land where people are striving with him, and the Lord tells him, don't be afraid. And this is why, because I am with thee. He says, I'm with thee, and I will bless thee. He says, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. That's a good reason for Isaac to settle his nerves, to know that the Lord was in control and the Lord was with him. He says, I am with thee and I will bless thee. That means anybody that comes against you, Isaac, I'll take care of them and I'm going to take care of you. There was no reason for this man Isaac to be afraid. We go forward in Genesis chapter 46, and the time comes that Jacob is going down to Egypt. He's been told that his son is alive, that he thought was dead, who's Joseph. And Joseph sends up to bring his daddy down there to him. He sends wagons to bring all of his stuff, and when Israel, Jacob, saw the wagons, he said, it's enough. He thought his son was dead, but now he knew he was alive. And so now he's heading down to Egypt, but there's great reason to fear going to Egypt. His father and grandfather had great trouble in Egypt, but God will come to him as he heads to Egypt and encourage him along the way. Genesis chapter 46, verse 3, he says to Jacob, he says, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not. Fear not to go down into Egypt, he says, for I will there make of thee a great nation. You know, the time came in Abraham's life when Abraham fell into deep sleep and saw a horror of great darkness. He saw all the things that would transpire for his children in Egypt. I suspect that Abraham related that vision to Isaac. Now, I suppose Isaac related to Jacob. And I can just imagine Jacob's heading to Egypt. He can remember his granddaddy's vision of seeing a horror of great darkness. And here he's going to that very place that God told Abraham he would go and his children would suffer there for many generations. But God tells him, fear not to go down into Egypt. Don't be afraid of where you're going. Why? He says, for I will there make of thee a great nation. He says, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. What a good encouragement. There was no reason for this man to fear. Why? Because God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going with you down into Egypt. Wherever you go, I'll go. And he says, and know this of a surety, I will bring thee up again. He says, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eye. You'll see your son. You're going to see that one which you thought was dead. There's no reason to be afraid. Go forward and you see the life of Joshua. You know, Joshua, of course, was a servant of Moses. He was actually called the minister of Moses, meaning servant. The time came when Moses died. Moses had sinned before God in the presence of the people. He had not sanctified God in their sight, and so God told Moses he would not go into the land of Canaan. However, God, you know, took him out to Mount Pisgah and allowed him to see all the land, all four directions of it, and there he died and God buried him. But before he did, God chose Joshua to go forward and lead the people into the land. Can you imagine how fearful that was to be? To follow a great man like Moses, all of a sudden God's telling you, you're now the one in charge, you're the captain of the Lord's host. Would that not be a fearful place to be? Even Solomon thought it was a fearful place to be when his daddy stepped off the throne and he took the throne. Remember what he prayed for? He prayed for wisdom. Why? So that he knew how to judge this so great a people. To stand as leadership of the Lord's people is a frightening place, because you know you need the hand of God with you at all times. So God tells Joshua, I will be with you. Notice what he says. He says, Joshua chapter 1 verse 2, he says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. In other words, this is your trial. This is your ministry. This is your lot. You're to go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. He says in verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because he was afraid. He felt weak. He felt like he wasn't up to the task. Even Moses himself, when God called him there when he saw the burning bush, gave about 5 reasons and 5 excuses why he couldn't serve the Lord. And if that great man Moses felt afraid to walk before the Lord and serve his people in this way, certainly Joshua would. So the Lord tells him, you're to be strong and of a good courage. He tells him in verse 9, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? He says, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, wherever you're going to go, I'm going to be with you. Whatever you have to do, I'll fight the battle for you. Whatever enemy comes up before you, I will stand between you and him. I even remember there in Joshua chapter 5, right before he used to go up before Jericho, here came the captain of the host of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, appeared to Joshua. And Joshua goes out and said, art thou for us or for our adversary? And the Lord let him know that he was for Joshua and for the Lord's people, and that the Lord would be with Joshua. And as we know in Joshua 6, they overcame the city of Jericho because God was with them. There was no reason to be afraid. That's why God could say, fear not or be not afraid. He says, for whither thou goest, I am with thee. Isn't that good to know? Wherever we go, the Lord's going to be with us. That means God was with Abraham when he was in the land of the Chaldees. God was with Abraham when he went in the land of Canaan. He was with him when he went down to Egypt. God was with Isaac wherever he went. God was with Jacob even when he went down to Egypt. God was with Joshua in the wilderness. God will be with Joshua in the promised land. God is with us whether we're in the Lord's house or whether we're not. Whether we go, the Lord is with us. And if the Lord is with us, there's no reason for us to be afraid. Fear not, he says, little flock. It's thy Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he tells Joshua, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Luke chapter 1, we find the Lord comes to a man named Zacharias. And he tells Zacharias, be not afraid. Or he says, fear not. Zacharias is in the temple doing his duties as one of the Levites. And there he is in the Lord's house doing his work. And an angel appears to Zacharias. He thinks he sees a vision and he's afraid. I would probably be afraid also if all of a sudden I'm working alone and all of a sudden a man appears. It would be quite fearful. However, the Lord tells Zacharias, fear not. Well, why do you not want him to be afraid? He says, fear not, for thy prayer is heard. That's good to know also. That's a good reason to not be afraid, to know that our prayer is heard. Does that not encourage you to know that when you cry out to God, that God hears the prayers of your hearts? He knows the things you stand in need of before you ask. However, he still commands us to ask him for those things. Isn't it good to know that the Lord hears? He says, fear not. Why? He says, thy prayer is heard. He goes on and tells him that his wife Elizabeth shall conceive and bear a son, and he says, thou shalt call his name John. And John will be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that same chapter, Luke chapter 1, verse 30, we find that the same angel Gabriel comes to Mary. You know what he tells her? He says, fear not. Well, why not? He says, for thou hast found favor with God. I mean, it's good to know that we're not to be afraid because our prayer is heard, but it's also good to know that we're not to be afraid because we have found favor with the Lord. Have we not found favor with God? Certainly we have. We've been blessed above all nations of the earth as the Lord's people. Here we've been given knowledge of the truth. We've been brought together as solitary people into a family to worship Him in the kingdom of our God. We've been favored by the Lord, have we not? He says to Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. He goes on to tell her that she would conceive and it would be of the Holy Ghost, and she should bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. We find in Matthew chapter 1 when the Lord went to Joseph, he told Joseph, fear not to take Mary to be thy wife, for that which was conceived of her was of the Holy Ghost. And he told her that she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. But he went forward with that, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's a good reason to not be afraid, to know that here came a child, and that child's name is Jesus, meaning God with us, the Lord, the anointed one that God sent to take care of the sins of his people. As Paul would say in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, he said, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. No wonder we're to fear not. He says, Mary, fear not. Why? Thou hast found favor with God. Zacharias was not to be afraid because thy prayer is heard. Joshua wasn't to fear because the Lord told him, I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. Jacob wasn't to fear because God would be with him and go with him down to Egypt. Isaac wasn't to be afraid because God would be with him and bless him. Abraham wasn't to be afraid. Why? Because God says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. We find there in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, that there are shepherds abiding the field by night with their flocks, and an angel appears. Remember what the Lord told them? He said, fear not. Well, why not? He says, for this night, one was born in the city of David that was Christ the Lord. He told them, there's another reason we're not to be afraid. Why? He says, because I have brought you good tidings of great joy, which is to all people. That's a good reason not to be afraid. You know, if I come before you with terrifying news, I wouldn't tell you, don't be afraid. But the Lord says, fear not. Why? He says, because I have good news of great joy, which is to all people. That means to all nations, whether Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. If you belong to the Lord, it's good news of great joy to all people, and we oughtn't be afraid. Why? Because we have the Lord on our side. He's come this night, he said, this day, this night, is one born in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. That's good to know that Christ the Lord, he has come. We find in Luke chapter 5, the Apostle Peter was afraid. You know, they'd been out fishing all night long.
and they had caught nothing. The Lord told them to cast on the other side, and they kind of argued with the Lord for a little bit, but they did. And when they cast out their net on the other side, it's amazing when you cast on the right side what you can do. All too often we spend our time casting on the wrong side. If we cast on the right side, great blessings come. We want to cast on the side of the Lord's side at all times. Here, Peter, he argues with the Lord, but they cast out and they brought forth a great draught of fishes. And Peter was afraid. Remember, he told the Lord to depart from him because he was an unclean man. He recognized he was a sinner. He recognized he had fallen short. He recognized he was not worthy to stand in the presence of the King. And so he asked the Lord to just depart from him. But the Lord says, fear not. Why? He says, for I will make you fishers of men. He says, from this point forward, you'll have a new ministry, a new focus. There's no reason for you to be afraid, Peter. Recognizing, yes, you're unworthy, but I'll make you worthy and I'll make you fishers of men. And so they went forward. We find in Luke chapter 8, there was a man named Jairus who had a daughter who was sick. He comes to the Lord. Why? He was afraid. He was afraid for his daughter's sake. He knew the Lord could help. He comes to the Lord and the Lord heads towards his home. But he gets distracted along the way. Although he wasn't really distracted, he knew exactly what he was doing. But there was a woman coming to him who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she comes to the Lord. And in the time that the Lord stops to help her, that poor man's daughter died. And so they come from his house and tell him. Remember what they tell him? Trouble not the master. You know, that's the best time to trouble the master. When you're in trouble yourselves. When you're in trouble, don't be afraid. Just trouble the master. I've preached on that before. We're to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for you. When you're in trouble, don't be troubled. Just simply trouble the master. They come to Jairus and say, trouble not the master. Why? He says, the young maid is dead. But you know what the Lord did? He went to his home. He went to his home. He went in there. He raised that girl back to life. You know what he told Jairus? He told him, fear not. Well, why not? Here his daughter's dead. Here he came to the Lord to obtain help. The Lord tarried, and in the tarrying his daughter died. Why should he not be afraid? The Lord says, fear not, only believe. Only believe. He says, your daughter will live again. Just believe. Just believe. That was a hard thing to do, is it not? To come to the Lord. He believed. He came to the Lord. He came to the Lord because he thought the Lord would help him and deliver his daughter from her disease. He comes to the Lord. The Lord tarries. His daughter dies. And now the Lord says, believe. Well, wait a minute. Lord, I believed at first and you tarried. And because of your waiting, she passed away. He says, just believe. Just believe. And she'll be raised from the dead. And she was raised from the dead. We find the Apostle Paul, when he went to the city of Corinth in Acts chapter 19, the time came that he was afraid. The Bible says the Lord came to him in a vision, Acts chapter 19, chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. The Lord comes to Paul in a night by a vision, and he tells Paul to not be afraid. Why not? He says, for I am with thee, and no man will set on thee to hurt thee. And then he goes on to tell Paul to preach the word. Go ahead and speak. Speak boldly. The Apostle Paul was not to hold back, said, because he was afraid of those in that city. And certainly it was a fearful place. Corinth was a very wicked city, an ungodly place, and not a place for a man of God to be. But yet God sent him there because God had much people in that city. So Paul was to go and Paul was to speak. He was not let his fear hold him back. Paul is told by God, I am with thee. No man will set on thee to hurt thee. Paul, you've got to speak because I've got much people in this city. They need to hear what you've got to say. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I remember the time Jeremiah, he had a ministry also, and God told him not to be afraid, not to fear the faces of the people. He was going to go and give them information they didn't want to hear. So God told him, fear not their faces. Speak the word anyway. Don't be afraid. Don't let them back you down. You know what the truth is. Speak the truth and don't be afraid to cry aloud and spare not. Here we find Paul was told, don't be afraid. I'm with thee. And he gave him the confidence, no man is going to hurt you. You preach the word because I've got a lot of people in this city. They need to hear it. We find in Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. And we find one of the most frightening experiences is recorded in Acts chapter 27. I'm not a person that likes water. I don't like being out on boats.
And so when I read Acts chapter 27, try to put myself there, it is a very fearful place to be. I like to be on firm ground. Here Paul was out on the ocean headed to Rome. However, they're going at the wrong time of year. They're going at a time when it's very dangerous, and Paul even told them they needed to stay where they were because if they went on, there would be much hurt in the voyage. But the captain of the ship didn't listen to Paul. He thought he was more wise than Paul was, even though Paul had the Lord and the captain didn't. But he went ahead and launched anyway. And they got in such a storm called Euroclydon that was a massive storm. It was a major hurricane that they encountered. It says they went 2 weeks without seeing sun, moon, or stars. Can you imagine being out in the middle of the ocean, not knowing which way is north, south, east, or west? You don't know which way to go. Finally, they're throwing everything out of the boat to try to lessen the weight. They're even taking helps under the ship, meaning casting ropes underneath to try to bind the ship together because it was coming apart. Here you are in the middle of the sea. You can't see any direction. And your only safety is the ship. And the ship's being destroyed right before you. But an angel of the Lord came to Paul. You know what he told him? Fear not. You know why he was to fear not? He says, because you're to go before Caesar. And he told Paul that he would give everybody that was in the ship with him. They would all safely arrive at land. Fear not. Why? He says, because I know the end. The end will be a safe landing. Now, the landing was rough. If you continue on and read, they drove into an island and the front part of the ship caught, the back part of the ship didn't, so the ship was busted apart. They all swam to the shore, grabbed onto broken pieces of the ship, and finally they all arrived safely to the land. And you know what happened when they got to land? You know who they met? The barbarians. I mean, that's really who you want to meet when you're in time of trouble, is it not? I mean, I love to meet those barbarians in that time. That's who they came to, a barbarous people, it says. But it says they showed us no little kindness. That means they were showed great kindness. You know why? Because the Lord was with them. And the Lord touched the hearts of those barbarians so that they ministered to the needs of those people in shipwreck. So it doesn't matter what it is we face. Whether it's like Abraham, who's in a strange place, God says, fear not. Why, I am with thee. I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. It doesn't matter if you're an Isaac in a place where people are against you. He says, I am with thee and I will bless thee. Or it doesn't matter if you're Jacob going into a strange land called Egypt, a picture of sin and torment, a picture of trouble. God says, I'll go with you. And know of a surety, I'll bring you up again. It doesn't matter if you're like Joshua, leader of the people, and it's a frightening place to be. The Lord just says, be strong and of a good courage. Go over this Jordan. I'll be with thee whithersoever thou goest. It doesn't matter if you're a Zacharias. Just remember, fear not, why thy prayer is heard. Or a Mary, fear not, why? Because thou hast found favor with God. Or a Peter, who knows you're not worthy to come before the Lord, it's okay. He says, I've made you a fisher of men. It doesn't matter if you're a Jairus. Only believe, the Lord says, fear not, only believe. It doesn't matter if you're Paul. The Lord is with us. The purpose is to spread the gospel, he says. Don't hold back. He says, no man will set on thee to do thee hurt, for I have much people in this city. It doesn't matter if you're in the storm of life as the apostle was, or even like the disciples in Mark 4 when they were in the ship, and the Lord says, why are ye so fearful? You know what he basically says? Fear not. Here they were fearful of the storm, but when the Lord spoke, they were fearful of the Lord. And that's truly where our fear ought to be. We oughtn't fear circumstances, fear men, but rather we ought to fear the Lord. You know, in the beginning of that experience, it says there was a great storm. At the end of Mark 4, it was a great calm. It's amazing what the Lord can do. He can take a great storm in our life and make it a great calm. He can take us from fearing circumstances, fearing events, or fearing men, to restoring our fear in Him. Fear not. Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I love what he said in John chapter 14. Verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know what he's saying? Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. That's when we're afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. That means we have some control over it. That means when we're afraid, there's something we ought to do. David tells us what we ought to do in Psalm 56:3. He says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When we become fearful of things going around, that means we're not trusting the Lord. That means for some reason we've turned our attention away from Him. We've put our confidence somewhere else. David says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Let not your heart be troubled." That tells me I have some command over what my heart thinks and what my heart feels. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." You know one of the best ways to settle our hearts? Turn to the Lord's Word. Read what the Father said. Read what the Son of God said. Read the words of God. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in me. Believe in the things that I've done. Believe what I've said is finished, that it's really accomplished. And because it is accomplished, there's no reason for you to fear. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." I love the Lord. He has full disclosure. He lets us know what's coming. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He says, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's good to know. That where the Lord is, we will be also. I want to close in Revelation chapter 1. The day came when it says that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Here he is, an exile on Patmos, and the Lord comes to him. And it says, "When I saw him," this is John speaking, he says, "I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not." He says, "I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am," he says, "Amen, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." John saw him, and he was afraid. The Lord says, "Fear not." Why? He says, "Because I'm the first, and I'm also the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, but am alive forevermore." The reason he says, "I am him that was dead," is because we died with him. The reason he says, "I am the one that's alive forevermore," when he came forth out of the grave, we came forth out of the grave. He says, "I am the first and the last." The Bible is clear that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author of eternal salvation, all them that believe. He is the first, he is the last. That means he's at the beginning, he's at the end, and he takes care of everything in between. Knowing that, we should fear not. Remember what he says, "Fear not, little flock." He's our shepherd. That's why I use that terminology. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And that's why he can say, "Fear not, little flock." Why? He says, "Because it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You know there's a day coming when the Lord shall come, and you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, "Come." Come where? He says, "Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world." 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "When the Lord comes back, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom even to God the Father." There's come a day that we, the kingdom of God, shall be delivered up. Fear not. Fear not. I know there's many things in this world that make us afraid. But thanks be to God, there's many things about the Lord that should calm our fears. Remember again, Paul even said in Romans chapter 8, he says that we've not been given the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but rather the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." You know, God sends a spirit saying we're part of the family. And since we're part of the family, he goes on to say that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus our Lord. There's come a day we will be with the Lord. We will overcome because the Lord has overcome. So fear not. May the Lord bless you. Amen.